Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
3 days to the second edition of Joy News Impact Makers Award. Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. In this edition, cement manufacturers face up to 3 years in jail under proposed legislation to regulate prices of cement. Details as Trade and Industry Minister mounts spirited defense of his controversial ally seeking to regulate the prices of cement, insisting, contrary to the claims of the manufacturers, they have been consulted.
I think it behoves on those in responsible positions in authority to ensure that the good people of Ghana are not fleeced. I am not comfortable. I don't believe that we're getting good prices for all that it's worth.
We'll get to hear from the cement manufacturers, plus details of this controversial ally. And also, the minister insists the purpose of the ally is not to impose prices on manufacturers, but to determine the reasonable price of the commodity.
The ally is to this extent. The committee would sit down with the manufacturers and then they would determine, determine what is it that is is a reasonable price for a bag of cement.
Also tonight, over 30,000 workers in the plastic manufacturing sector to be sent home and production plans shut down if the Ministry of Finance does not hold a planned implementation of a 5% tax on locally manufactured plastics.
The implementation of the 5% excise tax on ex-factory price of all locally manufactured plastic products and packaging be suspended immediately and indefinitely.
We have details as sachet and bottled water producers say they will also be compelled to stop production for 1 week. And 50% of Ghanaian doctors choose service abroad over working in Ghana as they lament poor working conditions is forcing them to see greener pastures. Meanwhile, the United Nations Development is questioning what measures the government of Ghana is initiating to tap into the country's strong supply chain of doctors.
For Ghanaian nurses and doctors. So the question for me is, how are we taking advantage of the strong supply chain of doctors and nurses in the country to create opportunities for them to work both here in Ghana and abroad?
And coming up in business, government to launch offer for bondholders to sign terms for restructured Eurobond debts in coming weeks.
And in sports, player Exodus Akumasi Asantuko continues as three more players depart the club, increasing departures to 21 following a disappointing season in the Ghana Premier League.
And much later, Kenya's President William Ruto forced to withdraw tax plan after deadly protest. We have details, plus the ordeal of some Ghanaian MPs who were caught up in the protest when the parliament building was burnt, part of it.
So first it was the library, from the library to the tunnel, from the tunnel to the bunker, from the bunker to one of the committee rooms. What they did today was not different from what we saw in the United States of America on January 6th.
We have details of that and more. Plus, we have the latest for the National Science and Maths Quiz. And Apam Senior High School hands bitter pill defeat to one-time regional champions in Fansipim School to book a place in the finals of the Girl PLC Central Regional Championship. But what is more important for them is how to redefine your victory in Chinese. You want to stay for that and more here on Newsnight. Plus, the Santa Clausians of Addis Adol College also progresses to the finals after a sweet victory over their brothers. Ogasco. That and more in tonight's edition of Newsnight. I am MFA Apao doing this with Evans Mensah. You want to join us with your thoughts and comments via WhatsApp is 055-1111-997. We're also live on X. thanks for staying with us. And tonight we start off from this controversial LI. We've been talking about it yesterday, seeking to regulate the prices of cement in the country. Yesterday you heard the cement manufacturers and the Chamber of Cement Manufacturers mentioned that they are not being consulted about this particular LI. They know nothing about it. Well, tonight it's imagined that they could face up to 3 years in jail under proposed legislation to regulate the prices. We've been hearing from the minister as well, but my colleague Evans Mensah has just finished interviewing the Trades and Industry Minister for PM Express tonight. He joins me via Zoom on this, has a copy of this particular LI. Let's go through it, Evans. So really, if up to 3 years in jail, what exactly are the details?
So without getting a bit more on this, and a copy of this legislation, it makes it very clear. And the exact title of the legislation is the Ghana Standards Authority Pricing of Cement Regulations 2024. Now, the important thing to note about this legislation is that it sets what they call a maximum allowable retail price for cement. So call it a price ceiling, beyond which no manufacturer can sell a bag of cement. So that, in essence, is what this legislation will do if it's passed by Parliament. Now, in coming to that maximum allowable retail price, that price ceiling, they have to consider a few things. One, they need to consider the X factory price of the cement. They also need to consider the cost of the preparation of a production account for the sale of cement, the cost of transportation of the cement, related costs. And then the last point is one that is a controversial one, a reasonable profit margin. Now, the question then becomes, what is reasonable profit margin? Now, the minister believes when a committee already has been set up as part of a legislation that has already been passed, LI 2480, called the Ghana Standards Authority Manufacture of Cement Regulations, which was passed in 2023. This particular legislation has already a committee in place, and that committee includes representation from the Ghana Cement Manufacturers Association. Now, it is this committee that is tasked with setting this price ceiling. So that is what this new legislation, which has become very controversial and before Parliament, is proposing to do, setting a price ceiling beyond which you cannot sell a bag of cement.
So the indication he's giving is that this is not to just regulate it, but to ensure that at least cement prices are at a reasonable rate. Is that it? But he's also been telling you about consultations with the cement manufacturers themselves. At least he's been speaking to Kwaku Asante on this. We'll get to it. But what exactly has he been saying when it comes to consultation or broad consultation on this legislative instrument?
Well, his view fundamentally is that when it comes to legislation, he doesn't need to consult the cement manufacturers on this, and that because there was a committee that was set up already, and he told the committee that they should self-regulate and also publish regular pricing, uniform pricing across the country, and that they failed to do so. I don't know if you recall, a few weeks back, he gave a directive for the cement manufacturers to reduce their prices at a time when the prices were going up. And we spoke to the cement manufacturers, and they rejected that. Now, he references that point. In fact, he says he had traveled and he heard that the cement manufacturers were making mockery of him and were teasing him that he could not do anything. And that this is his comeback to them, this legislation that now will compel them. Now, listen to this. This legislation is not only one that is seeking to impose a price ceiling. It is actually proposing stiff penalties for all manufacturers who violate the terms of this particular LI, including up to 3 years imprisonment for manufacturers. And this legislation has been worded very carefully. So you ask the point. So a manufacturer, 3 years imprisonment, up to 3 years imprisonment, who exactly are you going to throw in jail? Because of course it's a corporate entity. They have this particular legislation spells it out very clearly. It talks about, in the case of a body corporate, every director and officer of that body corporate is deemed to have committed that offense. In other words, if you violate this and you sell above the price ceiling, the directors of that company, the officers of that body corporate, will be thrown into jail if indeed you are found guilty, up to 3 years in jail. And then it says, in case of a firm or partnership every partner of that firm or partnership or any other person concerned with the management of the firm is deemed to have committed that offense. So the offense is clear, which is you cannot sell above this price ceiling without the approval of the committee. And if you're taken to court, the court has a broad spectrum to impose penalties, including the imposition of fines, 2,500 penalty units, and not more than 4,000 penalty units, or to a term of imprisonment, or not more than 3 years, or both, indeed. So in cases, you can get both a fine and imprisonment.
But that's interesting, and this is to the manufacturers, at least up to 3 years in jail. But what happens to the retailers who also give their own prices when it comes to cement? Is there a provision for them?
So that's not attached to the retailers. It's directed at the manufacturers. So because they believe they set the prices. And so that is where the focus is, as far as this is concerned, when it comes to the commitment of an offense under this legislation that has been proposed.
Okay. Well, stay with me, Evans, because he's also been interacting with journalists in Parliament, and our Parliamentary Affairs correspondent, Kwikwa Sante, joins us via phone on this particular matter. So you sought to also ask him about whether this is actually to impose prices on manufacturers, or rather to determine the reasonable prices of the commodity. What exactly has he been saying in Parliament as well?
Well, he's laying back on the premise that Evans has just laid. He says that the committee that is already in place is really going to sit around the table with these cement manufacturers. And it's not just the decision that is going to be taken by he, the minister, or government, but that committee that has been set up by the ally that is already in place will do, in fact, work together with these cement manufacturers to ensure that at the same time they are on the same plate and on the same, in terms of the wavelength. And he's also assuring that the cement manufacturers can be assured of profitability. Listen.
For a long time, you never see cement prices de-escalating. It's always escalating. It's always going up through the ceiling, through the roof, and towards the skies. Somehow, something has to be done about this. At a point in time, we are not producing so much cement in the country. Now we have an installed capacity of over 11 million tons in the country. Our demand is nothing like 11 million. So it must be a very profitable enterprise. But I think it behoves on those in responsible positions in authority to ensure that the good people of Ghana are not fleeced. I am not comfortable. I don't believe that we're getting good prices for all that it's worth. I think there's something fundamentally wrong with the pricing of cement in the country. Every sector of the economy, your house, your work, whatever projects, whatever, you require cement for that purpose. Now, I take the view that it's about time that the country was better served by those who are selling this product to us. You have a kind of arbitrariness in the pricing of cement, and it's been so haphazard. I strongly believe that there must be some sanity in the system.
Well, Kweku, the issue also about the chamber for cement manufacturers. We interacted with Dr. Dawson Amwa yesterday on the lack of consultation when it comes to this particular airline. In fact, he mentioned that it was news to him that there's an airline that's going to be introduced. Well, you put that question to KT Hammond. What did he say?
KT Hammond said he had made a moral attempt to convince these cement manufacturers not to increase prices, quote-unquote, arbitrarily, and had not succeeded. He said, in fact, he met these manufacturers several times, and at his back, these cement manufacturers did say that he, as minister, was not going to be able to do anything. And not having been able to convince these persons morally, he says he's taking the legal route, that the Constitution gives him the right to impose this law. And that is what he's seeking to do. And once those issues that a minority have raised are out of the way, he's expecting to get this year laid in Parliament.
So I asked them to ensure that something was done about this. In my absence, I was told that the minister wasn't going to be able to do anything. They would not listen. They wouldn't do it. They would go the way they want. Well, I have only one other avenue. I mean, encouraging them to do it is a moral persuasion. If moral persuasion fails, there is a system in the country, there's a constitution, we operate by rule of law. You come to parliament and then you ensure that there are laws. I mean, we have the constitution. So if the constitution mandates me to bring an ally, I bring the ally to ensure that somebody abides by, if we don't accept the moral principle, at least some sort of economic principle, the good people of Ghana must benefit. I don't think it is fair for the way they are pricing and the way haphazardly each one of them deciding and dictating how much a bag of cement should be sold for. This is quite apart from the quality that they are producing. Some of the companies are producing substandard products. We have had to deal with this matter. Ghana Standards Authority, which is in charge of this whole program, has had a hard time tackling quite a few of these companies. But we are on track with respect to that.
Well, Kweku, I'll come back to you on the pre-lane discussion, but Evans is the minister. I'm sure that you put that question to him in that interview on whether he's ready for that pushback that may come when it comes to this LI.
He is ready. In fact, he is categorical that he will ignore the petition that has been sent. A copy has been sent to him and to Parliament, as you know already. He categorically says he will ignore that. In fact, he tells me he doesn't need to even consult them in the first place. So he's pushing ahead. And as far as he's concerned, the next step is he has given me a timeline that in the interview that will be played fully on PMS later tonight, that he expects that by Friday, this would have been fully laid and the counting will begin. Remember that once this is laid, 21 days, if nothing happens, it becomes law. And for him, he's pressing ahead.
Well, so that's his hope, and that will be in that interview that we are looking forward to tonight, Evans. But Kweku, has that pre-laying discussion actually begun?
We understand it has, and in fact, the minority are indeed readying themselves for something bigger. I battle with the minister regarding this. A source within the leadership tell me they are not really opposed in terms of the principle of this, but that the minister is just trying to really obfuscate the issues and really exculpate his government when it comes to the real reasons for which reasons the cement prices are going up. They talk about the city, and in fact, there was an interview and a press conference today by Adongo where he talks about what he believes government has been doing poorly in getting the city to properly behave itself, quote unquote. And the city has been on a free flow. That is the responsibility of government, and that is part of the reason why cement manufacturers are having to increase this, because the raw products that they use, the clinker and coal, are not manufactured locally. They have to import them, and that will mean foreign exchange, and they can't get that at a very affordable one. And so these are all issues that the minority really believe that government should be dealing with, and that could automatically translate to lower prices. This MP that I talked to, for instance, cites to me what happened 7 years ago, 8 years ago, when cement prices used to be around 25 or 30 cedis. He says that clearly means that if the economy is in good shape, cement manufacturers are reasonable persons who will not just inflate the prices just to make profit, as it were. So the minority really believe that these are questions and concerns they'll put to the minister. But these are all things that they have to do now and Friday when the minister expects to push through with this LI. Mind you, he needs 21 sitting days to be able to get this LI to mature. Parliament is expected to write at the end of July. After this week, that 21 days, he may not get for that LI to mature. And so that is why he's really in a rush to get this LI laid as soon as Friday.
That's our parliamentary affairs correspondent there, Kweku Asante, giving us details. But Evans, away from cement manufacturers, also there are concerns on the plastic front, and the plastic manufacturers say they will send their over 30,000 workers home and shut down production for at least 1 week if the Ministry of Finance does not hold a planned 5% tax on all locally manufactured plastic products. Well, that is the ultimatum from the Ghana Plastic Manufacturers Association of Ghana, describing the tax as obnoxious and retrogressive. President of the Ghana Plastics Manufacturers Association, Ebu Bochi, says the tax, if allowed, will increase the prices of medicines, beverages, sachet water, and other products that rely heavily on plastics for its production or packaging.
Our position on the 5% excise tax still stands as follows, that the implementation of the 5% excise tax on X factory price of all locally manufactured plastic products and packaging be suspended immediately and indefinitely, that a better, a deeper and broad-based stakeholder consultation is done on the idea of any excise tax on locally manufactured plastic products. At this stage, we appeal to the Vice President of the Republic, His Excellency Dr. Bawumia, to intervene in this matter, because the effect of this consumer tax would really affect the masses, the common man, the common woman, who suffer extreme hardship. And we give government, the Ministry of Finance, 1 week to respond to our request, or we shall have no any other option than for all plastic manufacturers to shut down production for at least 1 week. And of course, we will send home over 30,000 workers.
Well, the Ghana Plastic Manufacturers Association is also accusing the Ghana Revenue Authority of harassing its members over the new tax.
It is very frustrating and disturbing that as we patiently wait for the appropriate response from government, the Ghana Revenue Authority, GRA, has started issuing demand notices and threats to plastic manufacturers, asking us to start filing for the 5% excise tax with effect from 21st June. Or we face up with an assessment to pay with punitive penalties and possibly lock up of our investments if we do not comply. GRA should stop coming after us until there is clarity on this ambiguous tax. The strange part of all of these is that we are still paying the existing 10% environmental excise tax on selected plastic materials at the entry points, even as I speak to you now. Let me say it again, that the GPMA, which is the umbrella organization for the plastic industry, was never consulted.
Well, they are not alone on this. The Association of Sachet and Packaged Water Producers, the president, Magnus Nunu, says they will be forced to also shut down their production plant for 1 week because they cannot package water in paper.
The main body that supplies us with our packaging material shuts down. What does it mean? It means that you wake up on the day they shut down, and there will be no bottled water, there will be no sachet water. Automatically, we have to fall in line by default. We can't package it in paper. We still have to package it in plastic materials, be it bottled water or sachet. Here, it is the consumers who have to endure the hardship of going without water for 1 week. Don't joke with it. The consequences can be daring, and I believe it's not a situation we as a country are prepared for. In all strike situations, ultimately, there's almost always a truce during negotiations, but that always comes at a cost to the vulnerable, that's the poor. Doctors' strike would always almost end up with some casualties, deaths. Teachers' strikes would end up, you saw it before it's resolved, students dropping out of school. A strike by GPMA members would definitely not go without a challenge. Poor individual may drink polluted water from Galamsey, and it could have generational effects. Drink water that is polluted with cyanide and mercury, it could affect your genetics.
Well, President of the Ghana Union of Traders Association, GUTA, Joseph Obing, says the implementation of the tax should be deferred because the time is not right.
Say, government is being insensitive to the plight of the business community. Let's defer the implementation of this excise tax. The time is not right and it is not fair around this time when businesses are suffering from the effect of the SM rate. And we are very much aware of this. This is not a time to impose another tax where we have been, so many taxes have already been imposed on us.
Are we saying that we do not care about the growth of businesses? Is that what we are saying? That businesses keep relocating from the shores of Ghana and we do not seem to care. We are not being competitive at all in the top rating because of cost of doing business. Now, most imports even have diverted their imports not through thermal ports, but through the eastern and the western corridors. Goods that go to Cote d'Ivoire and then trickle into Ghana. We cannot take any further charges or imposition of taxes around this time. And we are all very much aware that businesses are on the verge of collapse. We will support any effort to demonstrate your frustration.
Well, thankfully, we've been joined on the phone by the president of the Ghana Plastics Manufacturers Association, Ebobuche. Grateful for your time here on Newsnight. So what exactly are you seeking? Is it that you want to place your profits and business interests over the safety of the environment and the future of our children?
That's quite interesting point to start. Let me put this on record. From our understanding, this 5% excise tax, it is pure government revenue. It is not a tax or a revenue that is going to be religiously used for plastic waste management. No. They've been emphatic that this tax is government revenue. It is very, very sad. Now, we have the 10%, which is still being collected. We've done over 1.97 billion cedis, which is supposed to be in the consolidated fund. Not a single cedi has been disbursed for plastic waste management or recycling activity. And for this new one, it is clear, they made it clear, it is government revenue. We think that from a business community angle, we are being tolerant. We've written officially to the finance minister seeking a better engagement because we're not consulted. You cannot put this tax across board for every single plastic that is manufactured. There are some plastics, yes. The single use, the flexibles, yes. But there are these rigid plastics that you can never claim that it has some negative impact on the environment. Mm. So right from the word go, it was wrong for them. We need to sit, get a product list, and get it effective. We are waiting for the response from the Ministry of Finance. And then from nowhere, the Commissioner General and GRA are simply harassing, intimidating plastic manufacturers. We are law-abiding, we are decent in our taxes, we do not default. So if we are going to experience and go through this kind of harassment, then the only option will be to shut down. At the moment, because of the behavior of the dollar, we are already running at loss. So it makes economic sense to shut down and then save your money. At this moment, it is better not to produce, not to manufacture, than to produce or to manufacture in Ghana. Hmm. In this moment, this is how it stands. So we are asking government that please, you should sit with us. Let's have a common ground. Let us explain to you.
But since this communication was sent to the finance ministry, no response at all. Do you get a sense as to why exactly they have not been able to meet you on this particular issue?
Well, what we've made to understand is that the minister has been out of town for quite some time. For close to a month now, the minister is out of town. Mm. He's supposed to return on Friday. And we have the patience to wait for the minister. If it will take a week or two or three, we have all the patience to wait and to sit with him.
And when did the GRA start this harassment you talk about?
Sorry?
When did the GRA start this harassment you talk about?
Monday, from last Monday, just this Monday. But for GRA harassment, wouldn't have made any suggestion or made any intent to shut down. If GRA stopped the harassment, we will keep our patience and wait for the minister to come so that we'll sort this thing out.
And if this 5% tax stays, I'm told it will start inflating the cost of products, and at the end of the day, the final consumer is going to pay?
Exactly. This is what government is saying. In fact, government is saying that the tax is a consumer tax, so it shouldn't bother us. We should just pass it on to the final consumer. And it is not just 5%. What's going to happen is that it will be tax on tax. So it is going to be 7%. And if you have the basic plastic packaging material, like for the cocoa or for Boachi or Benku, you are going to put another 7% on it. We think it doesn't, morally, it doesn't make sense.
But
it is for government revenue, it is not fair.
You make the point about it's government revenue, but even if it's government revenue, it's still going to make plastics more expensive. If you put in that equation, the point that MFA makes you earlier about the environment, looking at the challenges you're facing currently, I mean, the UN data is clear. 0.84 million tons of municipal waste annually is due to plastics, 5.4% annually. That there has been increasing in terms of what its impact on the environment has been. You want to make it as expensive as possible, so you reduce its impact, so people then can't afford and they want to tend to alternative means of packaging. Isn't that, as a policy measure, one that we should be encouraging?
It makes sense. It makes encouraging. But let me ask you this question. So the 1.97 million Ghana cedis that is being collected over the 13-year period, and a single city is not used for plastic waste management, where is that money? That money, I'm sure one tenth of it could set up a lot of recycled initiatives and plans that will consume all our plastic waste. Currently, we are doing close to about 400,000 metric tons annually in recycling, and this is an initiative by us, not government. In West Africa and East Africa, Ghana is on top as the best or the highest recycling country. Kenya came here, they were supposed to come and give us some direction. They ended up taking direction from us. We are not doing bad at all when it comes to recycling. But then, government is looking at revenue with plastic. It is morally not fair.
Okay. That's Ebo Boche there. He's president of the Ghana Plastics Manufacturers Association. Well, this is an issue that we'll continue to talk about. And it's time for business. And George Riafi is here with the very latest. Hello, George. What's in business?
Coming up, the government to launch offer for bondholders to sign terms for restructured Eurobond debts in coming weeks. And economist Professor Patrick Isumi is charging government not to explore the option of returning to the capital market despite the deal with these bondholders. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationers and Distanks and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal.
Hey, so as for you, every day you are just pressing your phone. Why? Are they paying you?
They are, Omar.
Eh?
The more I use my MTN, the more points I get. And I can use those points to get airtime, data, and even discounts at shops and restaurants.
Hey, so that is why all of you are always pressing your phones. And you won't tell us, so that way too we can enjoy some.
Oh, Omar.
There's always more to enjoy with MTN Rewards. Just keep talking, testing, and browsing all day, every day to collect your points and use it to redeem amazing offers and discounted freebies right away. There's so much available for you. So dial *550# and get your reward today. Let's go everywhere you go.
Kweku, Kweku, have you heard what they are doing on MTN?
Ah! Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom, and my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaeje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumasi KNUSD Campus, UCC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302 764101, 764209 or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
Life in Denmark can be quite different for an African legend like Michael Essien. The weather, the food, the silence. But there is always a place he can call home.
Home is where your heart is.
Sporty Bet. Play with champions.
Chuboy! Yeah. We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm a fool. We don't want to be more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mamu lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
Hello, my name is Mamiukia, an entrepreneur and a mother of two. My work keeps me busy most of the time and sometimes it takes me away from my family. But the safety and health of my family is very important to me. As a working mother, I cannot afford to take any chances when it comes to matters of health. That is why I signed up for a family healthcare plan from Equity Health Insurance. My family and I have access to over 700 hospitals, clinics, opticians, dentists, pharmacies and diagnostic centers across the length and breadth of Ghana. With Equity Health Insurance, I no longer have to worry about medical bills. Anytime a member of my family visits a hospital, Equity Health Insurance has got my family and I covered. What about you? Who has got you covered?
Call Equity Health Insurance on 050-660-7910 and talk to them about your family health needs now. Visit equityhealthinsurance.com for more information. Equity Health Insurance, here for you.
The luckiest, luck is everywhere, for everyone, yeah. The luckiest, luck is everywhere, for everyone, yeah.
Doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers.
You could be the luckiest, you could be the luckiest.
Go.
The luckiest, luck is everywhere, for everyone, yeah. The luckiest, luck is everywhere, for everyone, yeah.
Doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers. The luckiest,
you could be the luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, government has announced that they will in the coming weeks formally launch the offer for bondholders to sign terms under the restructured Eurobond debts. Details in the following report.
This will mean that the bondholders will now have an opportunity to finally sign the agreement in principle covering the terms for restructuring these bonds. That could bring a closure to restructuring of the euro bonds that started some 2 years ago. Joy Business is learning that based on the preliminary engagement, the bondholders will accept the terms that has been proposed by the government. It will also pave the way for Finance Ministry to move on to engage other commercial bondholders when it comes to restructuring other debt owed.
And that is the Business Dex report. Now, economist Professor Patrick Osumi is charging government not to explore the option of even returning to the capital markets. It follows proposals from some investors and euro bondholders that the path to the capital market are now open following the deal with the bondholders. Professor Sumi says the economy is not ready for this.
I think that for this one, we should probably say thanks but no thanks to those who are encouraging and urging us to think about returning to the international capital market. The fact that the program, you know, we seem to be nearing the end of the debt restructuring. It's actually the beginning of the work. It's not the end of it. You know, our economy is still having serious difficulties that we need to seek to address. And at this moment, that should be our focus, not to be thinking at all about returning to the capital market.
Professor Patrick Osumi is an economist. Now, Bank of Ghana has given the firm assurance that it has the required laws in place to prudently regulate financial technology firms operating in the remittance and money transfer space. Now, this follows concerns that the country is not capturing all inflows because of some regulatory lapses. Let's hear from the head of FinTech and Innovation at the Bank of Ghana, Kwame Opong.
So as it stands today, every single authorized payment service provider who facilitates inward remittances in Ghana is required to do so with a partner bank. And so while they bring that technology capability, they have a partner bank through whose nostril account the funds are received. So not only is it captured, it's also, you know, adequately identified and reported, and the central bank has visibility on that. And if you look at the previous guideline from 2021 and the updated version in 2023, you see that consistent improvement to even further strengthen the regime that governs that space. So hopefully this gives your audience and the stakeholders a sense of how the space is regulated.
Head of FinTech and Innovation at the Bank of Ghana, Kwame Opong. Meanwhile, fresh data shows that there isn't any discrepancy between the Bank of Ghana data and World Bank in terms of remittance to Ghana. Now, stakeholders in the agricultural value chain are calling for the creation of special purpose vehicles that would offer reduced interest rates and other incentives to attract youth. The country director of AGRA, Dr. Betty Anand, said this at the maiden National Steering Committee meeting aimed at reducing youth unemployment through agriculture.
We all know that traditionally, agriculture has been the domain of the older generation. There is, however, a growing movement to get more youth involved. To enhance greater youth engagement in the agricultural sector, active youth groups and sectors in the sector need focused attention to address some of these challenges and to do so comprehensively. As we all are aware, you will agree with me that there have been several interventions across the country to address youth unemployment.
Dr. Betty Anand is the country director for AGRA. Now, Absa Bank says it's committed to empowering the underprivileged young women with vocational skills to achieve common economic independence. The bank today said it has kickstarted a vocational training skills program for women in collaboration with CAPFED. Speaking at the official launch in Accra, interim managing director of Absa Bank Ghana, Adolf Pewa, says that the skills training is another way of boosting economic drive.
We have trained and developed nearly 7,000 SMEs, majority of which are women-led businesses. The vocational skill training program is just yet another initiative that underscores Absa's commitment to be a force for good in everything that we do. And it is one of the many ways we bring our brand purpose to life. Our brand's purpose is empowering Africa's tomorrow together, one story at a time. And there is no better way to empower than to educate, skill, and develop. It is my hope that this program will inspire many more of a similar nature and serve as a catalyst to uplift women from poverty and stimulate a wave of progress across our communities.
Interim Managing Director of Absa Bank Ghana, Adolf Ekpega, and that's all for business on News Night.
And Lecture Headquarters is always brought to you by Petrosol, Clean Fuel in Full Quantity, CIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, AICPA, and CIMA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness, and Beauty, Chop Boss Technologies, a convenient service, Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging Gaps for Positive Youth Development.
And if you missed the midday news today, of course, we've been telling you about that name that has been presented to President Akufo-Addo to partner Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia as his running mate, and is the energy minister, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh. And we're expecting the National Council of the party to also consider that. In the meantime, political analysts have been assessing that electoral prospect of the NPP against the NDC, predicting a higher percentage of votes for the NPP in the Ashanti region in the upcoming general polls. Well, this projection comes after credible sources confirmed that the energy minister, NAPO, or Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, is the running mate to Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, boosting the NPP's chances in the region and beyond. There's more in this report.
He's running out for NPP flag bearer, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, to select his running mate 7 months after his election. He emerged victorious among 10 aspirants, receiving an overwhelming endorsement at the Superdelegates Conference. Since then, Dr. Bawumia has launched his campaign and manifesto teams, united the party through various engagements, and toured all 16 regions to garner support from key stakeholders. However, one crucial decision remains, choosing his running mate. Prominent names like Dr. Yao Edichum, Fremor Pari, and Dr. Maito Opoku-Prempeh have been mentioned, with reports suggesting Dr. Opoku-Prempeh as the front runner. Our sources have now confirmed that Dr. Maito Opoku-Prempeh has been chosen as Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia's running mate, following a meeting with the president. Political analyst Professor Lido Sedu says this does not come to him as a surprise.
So I think it's not so much a surprise. A lot of political watchers within Ghana had actually tipped him that he is likely going to be the running mate, based on a lot of media reports, publicity, and survey findings that have actually confirmed that he is the most preferred candidate within the rank and file of the MPP. We've heard that he was the preference of the MPP flag bearer, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, because he has ticked almost all the boxes that the party has agreed for the person who will be partnering with him in terms of regional balance.
Professor Alidu, however, weighs Dr. Opoku-Prempeh's chances against NDC's running mate, Professor J. Nana Opoku-Ajeman.
Looking at the regional balance of the running mate law, the Ashanti region is already a stronghold of the MPP anyway. So they will vote for the MPP rather than vote for the NDC. So the role of NAPO, if he's confirmed, will be to increase the percentage of votes in that particular area. And we saw what happened in 2020. In 2020, the NDC was able to make a route of inroads and increase their percentage of votes in that particular region. If they are going to campaign more there, there's a likelihood that they'll either maintain or uptake their vote. So the sole responsibility of NAPO is to increase the percentage.
Right.
But central region is a swing region.
Right.
It's not for NDC or it's for...
The MPP's National Council and National Executive Committee would need to deliberate to approve or reject Dr. Bawumia's decision when it becomes official.
I want to take it to the Electoral Commission now, because the chairperson of the National Peace Council, Reverend Dr. Ines Edujinfi, says until the country accepts the Ghana card or one system as a form of identification, foreigners will continue to actively participate in Ghana's electoral process. And now Reverend Edujinfi, who complained about how a chunk of registrants in the recently held voter registration exercise used the guarantor system, argued that the country should take a firmer decision on this particular matter. He's been speaking to my colleague Latif Idris, following a meeting with the Electoral Commission at the premises of the National Peace Council.
People busing people from place to place. We looked at all of those things. But the reality is that until we accept Ghana card or one system as our form of registration. The figures they gave us today, 63% of those who registered within this short period use the guarantor system. That's too high. Ghana card have 39%. 63. So that whole system of busing people will continue. You bring people from a different constituency. If I think that this is my safe zone and I have enough votes, let me move people from there to another constituency. And then you go and say, where's your card? Where do you live? Somebody comes in and says, well, I know him. He lives here. How can you challenge those things? So we have to come to this point. But during our last meeting in December, when we reviewed a lot of the things that are going on, we felt that between now and the election, if we insist on some of this, it could create chaos. But immediately after the election, there's a need for us as a country to sit back and say, what is the best for us? Can we just allow people to dictate our future? They may not be Ghanaians, they may not be... But because we don't have a system of identifying them, they are here and they vote. And sometimes the politicians themselves benefit from it.
Well, that's Reverend Ernest Edujemfi there, the Peace Council chairman. Well, meanwhile, chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Jean Mensah, says the return of the opposition NDC to IPAC has so far proven fruitful, as the party has given some valuable inputs to improve on Ghana's electoral system. The NDC, we know, has been missing at IPAC after raising concerns about scheming and the posturing of the commission. While speaking exclusively to Joy News at the National Peace Council, Jean Mensah told my colleague Latif Idrisu that as an important stakeholder in the politics of the country, the commission has had constructive feedback from the NDC, which they've incorporated in their workings going forward. We will give you details of that subsequently.
In fact, you want to just tune in to Joy Prime on the Joy News channel. They will be bringing you a bit more on that exclusive interview with the chairperson of the Electoral Commission. Guess who's joining us right now? Ms. Bao is here with the latest on the world of sports.
Yes, and they've just beaten in Fancy Pimp, Charlie.
I did.
I see.
How the mighty. Yeah.
What a miracle.
Yeah.
How can a pump beat in Fancy Pimp?
Well, it does happen. It's one of those days, right? Well, let's get to Kumasi now, because Asante Kotoko continue to see some of its players leaving the club. Three have added to the 18 players who have already left the club. Steve Mukwala, Richmond Lamte, and Enoch Morrison are the latest to add to that number. This follows a disappointing sixth place finish in the Ghana Premier League. Stephen Zando is with Love FM in Kumasi. He's been following this story and has the background.
Players of Asante Kotoko have joined the list of players leaving the club this summer. Top striker Stephen Mukwala, deputy captain Richmond Lamte, and versatile midfielder Enoch Morrison have all parted ways with the club. For Ugandan striker Mukwala, he's out of contract here in the club, and the player couldn't reach an agreement during the extension talks, reason both parties agreed to part ways. For Richmond Lamte, it is left a few weeks of his contract to expire, but the player pleaded with Kotoko to let him leave, as he doesn't have the appetite of continuing his football career here in Ghana. Kotoko granted the request and released the player. For Enoch Morrison, who was on red-hot form in the last few games before the end of the 2023-24 football season, head coach Dr. Prosper Gumnati informed the club hierarchy that he cannot work with him in the seasons ahead due to some acts of indiscipline he displayed in the course of last season. The IMC and the Palace were convinced of Ogum's explanation and recommendation on the player and began the process of terminating his contract. The club informed the player today of the decision they have taken, and Morrison will join the list of players leaving Kotoko, taking the number to 21.
Steven Zando on the latest in the camp of Kumasi Asante Kotoko there. Well, Evans, just a little update in the Euros. Just gone by, Slovakia and Romania played 1-1. Then Ukraine and Belgium played goalless in that Group E. Belgium, Slovakia and Romania have all qualified for the round of 16. Coming later is Czech Republic and Turkey. Then Georgia will play Cristiano Ronaldo's Portugal.
And the game is just about starting them as well. Thank you very much. And it's time for fact-checking. Today, we are focusing on claims by the STC boss and deputy chairman of the MPP flag bearer, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia's campaign team, Nana Akomiya, on Ghana's GDP growth rate. Now, he made these claims during an interaction at the party's town hall meeting in the United Kingdom. Head of our research desk, Raymond Akwa, has more on the claims and verdicts in this report.
Nana Akumiyan said Ghana's economy was the best in the world in terms of GDP growth, referencing the years 2017 to 2019.
Ghana economy GDP growth was the best in the world. 8% 2017, 6.5, 2018, 6.2, 2019.
Now, the GDP growth rate of 2017 was indeed 8.1%, but the claim that this was the best in the world is completely false. Now, data from the IMF indicates that there were other countries that had growth rate exceeding what Ghana got in 2017. For example, Libya's growth rate was 32.5%, that of Guinea was 10.9%, and Ethiopia also bested Ghana with 10.2% growth rate. Now, Nana Akumiya's claims for 2018 and 2019 are also false, for the avoidance of doubt. Firstly, he appeared to have switched the GDP growth rate, that's the 6.2% growth rate for 2018, with the 6.5% for 2019. Substantively, the 2018 Ghana GDP growth rate was not the best even in Africa. Burkina Faso, Gambia, Benin, and others had GDP growth rates higher than that of Ghana in 2018. Again, in 2019, Ivory Coast, Benin, Uganda, all her GDP growth rates exceeding Ghana's 6.5% rates.
And that's fact checking from the Joy News Research Desk. And it's 3 days to the second edition of the Joy News Impact Makers Awards. 10 nominees have been shortlisted for this year's awards this weekend, that's Saturday, 29th July, at the Accra International Conference Center. And the awards will be live on Joy News, Joy FM, and all our social media platforms, also on myjoyonline.com. Well, among the shortlisted nominees is Gloria Ladi Adakurugu, also known as the Celebrity Teacher. She's the founder of the GLA Foundation, a non-profit organization dedicated to offering educational opportunities to marginalized individuals and empowering them to become catalysts for positive change. Here's your story.
I am a teacher by profession. So when I was posted to a village in Eastern Region of Tekpolu, that was where I did my teaching practice. I realized these kids were facing a lot of challenges. When they come to school, they don't have basic things like pen, pencil, erasers, exercise books, shoes, uniforms. So as little as my salary was, I decided to step in as their parents and provide these things for the kids. So it started way back in 2011, and I'm here today. I've been to about three regions, supported them with stationaries, uniforms, renovated classrooms, provided furniture, sanitary pads, a lot.
For God and country, huh? But Gloria, as an individual, what is the intention behind this marvelous work that you started doing 13 years ago? What was that clarion call that you got that you should do this or you needed to do this for the interest of this these pupils that whose lives you have transformed now? What was it for you?
I've been there before. I come from a very humble background, struggling during my school days. And these basic educational things was difficult for me. So when I became a teacher, in fact, I really understood the kids' pains they were going through. So it was the experience I had that gave me the motivation to also step in and help these kids.
Gloria Adakurugu. Well, at this point, if you want to support Joy News to reward these impact makers, you can call us on 024-216-1570. It's 024-216-1570. You can call me also, and then we can direct you to the organizers. But so far, the Impact Makers Awards is brought to you by
Magdan Foundation, Gold Keys Properties Limited, DBS Industries, and First National Savings. It's never too late to join our league of sponsors for this year's edition. Just call us at Joy News or Joy 99.7 FM for more.
Should we go to the central region now?
Oh, for that shocker.
The NSMQ is full of surprises.
What are we talking about here?
Apam Senior High School.
They have Apam.
And they booked a place in the finals of the Goyle PLC Central Regional Championship. Well, listen to the students of above.
We are the best. We relearn in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, night, day. We are the best. Approximately, we are the best.
Yes, you see, one Chinese one said, never pray for an easy life. Pray for the what? The strength to overcome the difficult ones.
Yes. We know that they are gone.
How is that said in Chinese?
Shao Fu Shankan, and I said Fu Fu Fu. Hey,
what does that mean to your victim?
And so we want to extend this motivation to the external world. You see, across the breadth and the length of the globe. Make you not take anybody. Make you not let the pressure of anybody shivers you.
Yeah. Which will mean that the Prisek, the Achimota should also be listening.
Yes. Actually, we are not fighting with any school. We are fighting with the questions. And so the questions are our questions. And we always get them correct. Yeah. Abrapa!
And don't let the pressures of anybody shivers you. Say that in Chinese.
Shivers, yeah.
But meanwhile, their city rivals at the Saddle College held their flags high, and they also beat St. Augustine's College. Charlie, Central Region, good job today.
And there's a certain gentleman called Kojo Yangsin. I think he went to one of those.
He went.
And that's also
loud voice. They beat them. Charlie. Yeah. But Ali, a pump force. Hey, first the paper.
Nobody shall shiver.
Nobody.
They didn't shiver.
Strong as Sassy coming up.
Hello.
I like your topic today, actually.
Yeah, I really like
your topic.
Right? MFA, will you date somebody that's broker than you?
Oh, why not?
Oh, you
my
will.
Money, your money. Why?
Me.